Here on a Thursday afternoon. Welcome back, everybody. We've got the Foss, Chris Fernandez standing by out in KC. We've got Jay Jaffe coming up here in a little bit to talk a little baseball with us. We've got Lane Frank as well. We got the first round coming up, Hags and Chihuahuas baseball. So much in store. So much in store. But the big news that everybody's talking about right now, Lamar and the Ravens, 5 years, 260. By the way, congratulations, Lamar Jackson. You put that deal together without an agent. How about that? You know, most of the time the agents will take their cut. Not this deal. This is all Lamar Jackson. And you're right, Adrian. He wanted out, and now he signed for 5 years. What a blockbuster to begin the show today.
What a blockbuster indeed, Steve, and a huge turn of events for the Ravens. I thought it was over. I thought his time in Baltimore was done. I thought we were talking about Lamar Jackson maybe becoming a Washington Commander prior to the Jets executing the deal with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe thought that could be in play as well. There are a ton of quarterback needy teams out there. No one made a serious play at Lamar, and instead the Ravens get the deal done internally. They did not want to let him go. Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Ravens, did say that and indicate they see him as their franchise quarterback. And now we're hearing rumors that not only are they loading up and expecting to load up here at the draft, they want to trade for a premier wide receiver in the league to give Lamar Jackson some more weapons to go along with their recent Odell Beckham Jr. signing that happened this offseason as well.
Yeah, if you can get DeAndre Hopkins, that would be a nice little 1-2 punch. I know they're veterans, they're a little older, and they might not be at their prime, but Hopkins and Beckham would still be a much big improvement versus what they've had the last year or two.
I like names even, you know, a tier below Hopkins, kind of like T. Higgins, which would be, you know, a little bit far-fetched to see the Bengals trade within their division to the Ravens for something like that. But what about a name like Cortland Sutton from the Denver Broncos? They've been actively shopping Cortland Sutton along with Jerry Jeudy in that wide receiver core when it comes to the Denver. Maybe the Ravens act on that and try to go out off that route and trade for him.
Let's see what the Foss and Chris Fernandez have to say as they are live Radio Row getting ready for the first round of the NFL draft a few hours from now. Gentlemen, welcome back to the program. And before we get your thoughts on the deal today with Lamar, how was last night and the escapades the two of you had hanging out with Christian Okoye at his party?
Well, it was mellow. It was kind of a locals-only perspective, as you would say. But it was great. It was great to sit down with Christian Okoye, one of Kansas City's favorite sons, and just, you know, get acclimated to what's going to go on in his next couple days.
All right, that sounds like a winner. Chris, I heard you guys were able to sip some beverages of choice and also smoke cigars all night.
Yes, it was one of those evenings, Cappy. A lot of cigar smoking and some adult beverages went down very nicely throughout the evening. it was a good time.
Awesome. Happy you both had a chance to enjoy that and live to talk about it. That's nice. Meanwhile, reaction to what the Ravens did earlier this afternoon with bringing their franchise quarterback under contract for the next 5 years?
Well, I think, you know, John Harbaugh is a pretty savvy guy, you know, and then in the front office, Ozzie Newsome has been pretty steady in what he's been able to do with the organization, that being the Baltimore Ravens. And at some point, you got to realize you really can't do anything in the NFL without a quarterback and a defense. So what are you going to do? And the fact of the matter is you really need to take a known, proven, successful quantity and just take care of it. You're going to have to pay for it. There's a reason why, and they finally got it done.
Yeah. Do you think that this sends a message to other athletes that you don't necessarily need an agent to negotiate a mega deal?
Well, I think Lamar Jackson, even for the quarterback position, is in the elite company. So if you said, let's take Lee Steinberg out of the Patrick Mahomes equation and let him do what he did, I don't think you get the same result. I think people are getting the result because Lee Steinberg got Patrick Mahomes what he got.
I get it, but Chris, he's making 190 guaranteed over those 5 years, and he's now the highest-paid quarterback in the league, highest-paid player in the league. He's making $52 million a year. He did all that by representing himself.
Well, I hear you, Cappy, and I think that you know, he's definitely proven that it can be done. Not 100% sure if I was a rookie going into the NFL or even a 2 or 3 year guy that I would want to go in there without representation and try to work my own deal. But, hey, it worked out for him. He's making money.
So good for him. So, Cappy, what you're effectively saying is Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert can let their agents go. Not fire them, but just let them go and say, hey, man, I got this, and I saved myself 3% off of that number.
Well, let's think about this for a second. 3% of $185 million in guaranteed money.
No. They get 3% of the total.
Total. They get 3%
not the guarantee, bro. Sorry.
All right. So he saved himself $7.5 million.
Correct.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
If you can do it. And there was some pain and consternation in getting there.
But there's pain and consternation in any big contract.
Do you want to do it while you're going through OTAs? Do you want to do it while you're supposed to be focusing on play calling and making accurate passes and different things like that? You take a chance because, listen, the reason why you don't run the board and talk and do all the commercials is because it's difficult to do everything at once.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier when the show started, and you're hearing rumors of it in this room that we're sitting in now, is that, you know, a lot of the maybe under the table talks of I'll stick around and I'll play for you if you can get me so and so and so and so to throw the ball to. Those kind of conversations were taking place, and maybe he felt like that was something that he needed to do on his own to make it happen.
All I know is this. Lamar Jackson is the biggest winner here, and I will be interested to see if this paves the way for more high-profile athletes to want to do it the same way he did. There's going to be a lot of calls to Lamar from big-name players over the next few weeks and months asking about the details so they can learn a little bit more about how that process went down.
Okay, let me just give you a very real-time deal that would include me. You can go to LegalZoom and get the forms and fill it out and create, you know, business entities or do your will or, you know, maybe a trust. But there's something to having the human wisdom and expertise behind it. I'm not saying that you're not going to be able to come up with those documents to create something. But if you mess up, you don't really have the.
That's true.
You know, so it could be. Listen, I'm happy for Lamar because I think Lamar was worth every penny. So
I agree. Yep. But I tell you what, it does do, Cappy, is it does open the door for other high profile quarterbacks to step up and say, okay,
get me what he has,
yes, and then the next guy gets more, and the next guy gets more. So it's definitely opening the door for other possibilities for other high profile quarterbacks to get their due.
Guys, I mean, also, you look in the NBA, though. I'll push back by just saying this. Across the NBA, you don't have a lot of play. It's common to see players without representation and agents. I mean, LeBron, you know, we all think of him with all the guys he has in clutch behind him, but he pretty much represents himself. He's going to be the one who really takes everything in control on his own side. So we see this in the NBA. Maybe now we can start seeing this pour over into the NFL. Lamar's one of one pretty much in the league, so now maybe this can be more popularized when you talk about other quarterbacks or high profile guys.
Well, again, it's kind of down in distance. It's case by case in that situation, because again, some people are just, you know, you're gonna have to pay for them, and then there's gonna be some people who, you know, they're gonna have to work at it a little bit. The nuances, I think, come from, do you know about all the additional clauses for, you know, 100-yard rushing or 400-yard passing? You're going to have to do a lot of studying. And, again, I don't think that it's not necessary that you can do that. But Lamar also had one contract done, so he kind of had a blueprint to work off of to then create this second one. And it's always going to be the second or third one is when you really get paid.
All right, guys, we are just a few hours away from the start of the draft. First, paint the picture of what it's like out there at Radio Row in Kansas City.
I'll tell you, Radio Row, when we got here, Cappy, was pretty much empty. By the way, we have arrived. I like to tell Foss that we have arrived. We are table one, seat one and two.
Nice.
In Radio Row. So
yeah.
We're in here. It's packed. It's getting more crowded as the hours go by. I anticipate it being completely full by draft time. Outside, the festivities have started. There's music on the stage. But in front of the big stage, of course, there's nothing on the big stage but the podium. I think I sent you a picture of what it looked like, and it's getting crowded. The tram that we rode up here was packed to the hilt with fans from all teams from the NFL. There's a lot of excitement in the air, a lot of excitement going on, music and drink and just a good time happening all around the square.
Meanwhile, what are you guys hearing as far as some of the rumors with the first round right around the corner?
Well, I think conventional wisdom says that Bryce Young is going to be the first one to go off the board. He, you know, to the Carolina Panthers. Most of the people that we've spoken to in the war room here would agree with that. And then you go to the second pick, and it's all over the board.
Yeah.
So I really going back to what I said yesterday.
Well, shoot, we're sitting next to ESPN Houston and those guys, and we know them.
Yeah.
And they're not sure what their own local team's going to do.
So it is all over the board right now, Kathy, and I think tonight is going to have a few surprises for a lot of people.
Yes.
Oh, I agree with you. And I'm looking at some of the mocks that we've seen put up right now. In fact, Adrian's got his annual mock draft.
Yeah, Robert, I like his.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Robert Garcia's put up his as well, and right now it's interesting because both Adrian as well as Robert have Bryce Young going one, but after that it's anybody's guess. In fact, right. Adrian went with a move that I think, Chris, you'll smile with because you thought that Houston's going to go Texas Tech on for pick two, and sure enough, that's where Adrian went. He went with Tyree Wilson, while Robert Garcia's got Will Anderson Jr. going to the Texans at two.
Yeah, I'll just say this real quick. Will Anderson is the pick. I mean, he's the guy that they should go with. But I'm going with more of where the philosophy is for Houston. DeMeco Ryans coming in from the 49ers. He knows how to work with an athletic pass rusher like Nick Bosa. That is Tyree Wilson right there.
Yes,
that
it
means
is.
Will Anderson could slip in the first, you know, the top five picks. I still think he could be the best overall player when we're talking about the draft. My favorite prospect is Bijan Robinson going into this one after looking at everybody, but I'm still saying right now the pick should be Will Anderson. I'm still thinking that they go out of left field with Tyree Wilson.
But you've had the point made for you, Adrian. If DeMeco Ryans knows how to coach up an edge rusher, then you take the – see, you play to the strengths of what you have talent. You play to the strengths of what you can teach. And if you can teach that technique better than another one and then let your staff fill in, then get the best edge rusher you can that you know you can coach up.
Yep.
And then move forward. Listen, pressure breaks pipes. You can get a lot of pressure off that edge. It is something special when you can have a guy come once that ball snapped and you go, oh, snap, I can't run to that side of that offensive line.
And I like the way he plays. He plays with a reckless abandonment. He loves the pressure game. He's quick off his feet. I think that's going to be a really good pick for the Texans.
Guys, we'll check back in with you later in the hour because we'll have plenty more questions for you and hopefully more developments as we get closer to round one getting underway here this evening. But great start to the show, and as always, you guys sound terrific out of Radio Row.
Appreciate that, Cappy. Good to be with you guys again.
Thanks.
Table one, seat one and two. How about that for DeFoss and Chris Fernandez? Unbelievable. When we come back, It's going to be a little baseball talk with our pal Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs. And a little bit later, Lane Frank will join us as well. Stay with us. Charlie One is back, and he's got our first traffic update of the afternoon. All right, back here on Sports Talk, 22 past the hour as we continue. I want to say hello to Jay Jaffe, who joins us from Fangraphs.com. Talks a little baseball and beer with us every week here on the show. Jay, welcome back. When was the last time, almost, or not even almost, it's been a month now into the baseball season, we can call the Pirates the best team in the National League record-wise?
Yeah, I don't know how long it's been. I do know that, I guess, through 24 games, they were off to their best start since 1992, the end of the Barry Bonds era. So that tells you, and that Jim was still managing, so that tells you how long it's been since they were a powerhouse. I'm not sure whether they had the best record at that juncture or not, but pretty close.
Was that the Sid Bream year?
92, I believe that was the Sid Bream year, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, as good as they've played, Milwaukee's been really good. 16-9, just a game and a half back, and even the Cubbies. I mean, let's be honest. Pirates, Brewers, Cubs. Of those three teams, we knew the Brewers would be there. Nobody expected the Cubs or Pirates to be at the top of the division a month in.
Yeah, it's been pretty surprising. Both of those teams are showing some improvement here. I'm not sure how much of it's real. I haven't really gotten to sink my teeth into it. I might do the Cubs next week. The Brewers, I didn't think they would be this good, but I also didn't think the Cardinals would be this bad. So,
yeah.
It's a bit of a surprise in the NL Central. There are some promising things going on all of those teams, Pittsburgh and Milwaukee and Chicago. We'll see how it holds up.
You wrote about Brian Reynolds and that contract extension yesterday. He has been the subject of trade rumors now for more than a season. In fact, the Yankees were linked to Brian Reynolds. But you know what? Good for Pittsburgh. Good for their fans. Good for small market baseball. Even though it's hard to call Pittsburgh a small market because it's a good sized city. It's got a ton of history that goes back over 100 years. But they don't spend. So for a franchise that doesn't spend to throw 100 plus million at Brian Reynolds, that's what you want to see. You want to see a commitment.
Yeah, I think this is a nice thing for the fans of the Pirates who've suffered for a long time and seen most of their stars leave town. This is the largest contract in Pirates history. It's the first time they've gone over $100 million, and I think the previous record for them was Ke'Bryan Hayes' 8-year, $70 million extension, which obviously this blows out of the water. The Pirates are helped by the fact that Reynolds has still got two more years of arbitration eligibility after this, which kept his price down. If he were a free agent, his next three seasons would be worth about $90 million based on our projections. So they really did get kind of a bargain here.
They did. And again, they're off to a great start. That's a good piece of news. And hey, by the way, let's just remember the 27th of April, right? Because the Pirates and Diamondbacks are both in first place that day.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks are starting to put some things together. They've been helped by the fact that the Dodgers have been, I think, erratic is the word I would use. Been hit hard by injuries and really have not been anything close to the powerhouse that's dominated the division for the past 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, that's true. And so are the Padres. They haven't really done. They've been up and down all season anyway, and it's been just because they haven't scored the kind of runs we're thinking about. And I know you wrote about Juan Soto a year ago after the trade, and talked about despite the low batting average that other things he was doing was really coming in handy. This time around, 4 home runs. But he's batting .183. And, Jay, I guess a concern is when Juan Soto is slugging less than his on-base percentage, albeit just a hundredth of a point less, but .344 for slugging, that's not the kind of numbers we usually see from Juan Soto.
No, it's not. His batted ball stats based on StatCast are actually reasonably solid. .484 expected slugging percentage. He's 140 points below that. When he's making contact, he's hitting the ball pretty hard, barreling the ball, pretty hard, but more ground balls than you'd like. Too many of these are on the ground, and too many of those ground balls turn into outs. I think he's a little bit mechanically out of whack. I don't think he's really adapted to Petco Field, Petco Park, which has which isn't the most favorable ballpark for a lefty hitter. And he's said that he has been having problems with the pitch clock. You know, he really liked to go on those walkabouts and kind of psych the pitcher out, stare him down, things like that, and doesn't have the latitude to do that now. But man, he's got to adapt if he wants to get that contract that that he envisioned here.
Meanwhile, other than Xander Bogaerts, the whole team is off to a terrible start offensively, you know? I mean, there's a couple of guys that are driving in runs, but everybody's got low batting averages, and nobody really is producing the kind of slugging numbers that you would expect a team like San Diego to produce outside of Bogaerts and Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, it's been surprising. You know, we all expected more from this team, and they haven't lived up to it. And the pitching's been, you know, pretty messy, too. I mean, Blake Snell has been, you know, the usual Blake Snell, 5.48 ERA, 0-4. We've seen him have stretches like this. Yu Darvish has been good, but he's banged up. Seth Lugo has been a nice surprise. Josh Hader is back to his old self. That's good news. But, yeah, this, you know, so far it just hasn't clicked for them. You know, there's still time, and I expect – in the end, this could be an interesting race in the National League West.
You wrote about Robbie Ray today, lost for the season with a torn flexor tendon. Jay, this has just been a rough month for pitchers. So many good arms have dropped, and Springs with Tommy John surgery. Now Ray out for the year. You know, there's a lot of other guys that are injured. We just don't know the extent of their injuries. The Yankees have lost three-fifths of their rotation. But this is a big blow to a Seattle team that was hoping to make a run for a division title this year over in the American League West, which currently has them sitting fourth out of five teams, three under 500.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, Ray was not really as good as advertised last year. His first year, that five-year, $115 million deal with the Mariners, kind of struggled down the stretch with them as they ended their 21-year playoff drought. I don't think what happened there carried over to this year. Because he reported to spring training, he was throwing 95 miles an hour, which is about a click and a half up from last year. But unfortunately, he couldn't maintain that and had a flexor strain in his first start. Didn't make it out of the fourth inning, and now they discovered even worse damage, and it's just a bummer because he was in better shape than he was last year. He had changed his off-season regimen. He had didn't have the lockout and free agency and the move of cities to deal with. So it's a bummer. The Mariners do still have a very good rotation. Luis Castillo, in my mind, is an ace in the making. George Kirby and Logan Gilbert are two very good young pitchers. But they don't have anybody on hand that's going to replace Ray easily, and they're going to have to go out and get somebody. And I think later in the summertime, unless one of their prospects pulls it together. But you know, they emptied the tank to get Castillo last year, and they're just they're not going to get that kind of pitcher with what they've got on hand.
More with Jay as Sports Talk continues, but first, right back to Adrian and this Sports Center update. That Jay Jaffe, who covers baseball for Fangraphs.com, has written some great stuff over the last week, including the Reynolds and Ray stories. Logan Ohapi talked about the injury to him. Max Muncy's return as well, and the Hunter Green extension. It's all up, plus a chat at Fangraphs.com. Dick Groat passed away. We found that out earlier today. 92 years of age. Here's a guy that was not only an all-star shortstop, but somebody who actually played in the NBA and was the MVP of the National League in 1960, the year the Pirates ended up beating the Yankees in the series on that Mazeroski home run, 92 years of age. Jay, what can you tell us about the great Dick Groat?
Yeah, he was a good ball player, not a great hitter, but a good glove man and a significant part of not only those 1960 World Series winning Pirates, but also the 1964 Cardinals. He was an all-star for them as well. Ken Boyer was the National League MVP that year, but Groot was a key contributor there. Just a well-respected guy throughout the game and not a Hall of Famer, but finished MVP winner once and runner-up in 1963 with the Cardinals as well. I think that speaks to the respect that people had for him, his all-around game as a gap hitter and a good glove man and clubhouse leader.
No doubt. Plus, he's the second all-time career scoring leader in Duke Blue Devil history. I thought that was really interesting.
I did not know that.
And taken third overall by the Fort Wayne Pistons in the 52 NBA draft and actually played for him that season. So, but like a lot of athletes, enlisted in the Army, and then after a couple of years in the service, discharged, went to baseball, and before you know it, decided that he was going to take Branch Rickey up on his offer and, end up with a really nice baseball career. So interesting to see how that ends up working. Because at that time, Jay, Branch Rickey was the GM of the Pirates after his Dodgers days.
Right. Yeah. Now, he lost 2 years to the Korean War, to military service around the Korean War. And, he was very young at the time. So luckily he was able to get his career back on track.
Meanwhile, coming up on Saturday, it is the 40th anniversary of the Lee Elia rant while he was manager of the Cubs. Is there a chance that you could go on Fangraphs and take a look back at the 40th anniversary of one of the most famous locker room and clubhouse rants in the history of baseball?
Well, I don't think I'll be doing that. My friend Mark Carrig at The Athletic did a very nice job of it, though. And although he had the link to the sanitized, the bleeped version of the rant, I just read that story about an hour ago. I do remember it from back in the day, and I think when I was at Sports Illustrated, I did a commemoration of it. My editor over there loved it when we dig up the anniversaries of the Lee Elia rant, and I think it was the Hal McRae rant, and
yep.
and one of Earl Weaver's greatest hits. We had a lot of fun with those.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right, let's wind it down. Beer pick of the week. What would you like to talk about this week, Jay?
Okay, this was a fantastic summer beer. I wish it was a little bit warmer around here so it felt like summer. But this is from Zero Gravity up in, I believe it's Burlington. This is their Yuzu Lager, a crisp lager with a little bit of yuzu in it. That's a Japanese citrus fruit kind of on the lime and grapefruit side with maybe a little bit of spruce to it. Reminded me of the McKellar Chill Pills that I drank a lot of a couple summers ago, but which is no longer in production. I really like this. It's only 4.6% ABV. Really nice, refreshing session beer. Hope I can get some more of it before it disappears from stores.
Good stuff. Well, Pilsners are important. I hope the weather starts to heat up for you back east. I mean, I don't know about you, but over here it's going to be 84 tomorrow and then 90 on Sunday, Jay.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's been... it's been a little chilly here after getting very hot a couple weeks ago.
All right. Well, listen, good stuff. Appreciate the time as always. Look forward to having you back with us again next Wednesday on the show.
All right. Sounds great, Steve. Take care.
Jay Jaffe, folks, from Fangraphs. Follow him on Twitter at @J_Jaffe. Take a timeout, 37 past. When we come back to KC and the Foss, who's hanging out with Chris Fernandez at the NFL Draft. Radio Row, Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. That's true, guys. I mean,
it's insane.
Adrian predicted a trade into the three spot, and he has the Raiders going up into the three spot.
I like that one.
Yeah,
I like
great.
That one. That's why I said I liked. Hey, Adrian's if he could figure it out. Well, I like what Adrian has, but He's smarter than the average bear.
I appreciate it, guys. I just want to say this with the Las Vegas Raiders right now. I know they signed Jimmy Garoppolo, but that cannot be their future plan. That's not their future quarterback. And if right. Will Levis is taken before C.J. Stroud, I think the Raiders get kind of hungry to draft somebody like that, and they move up and end up snagging him. So I think that C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, that's going to be an interesting debate in its own. But I could see Las Vegas moving up to try to get a quarterback, not for this year, but for the future.
You're right, Adrian, and I do. I see Will Levis going before C.J. Stroud, which I mean, you hear a lot of folks right now saying that he is potentially sliding up to be the first draft pick. But I don't see that happening. But I think, and I don't see how he could go before C.J. Stroud. But a lot of folks have that happening.
You know. You wonder, Foss, do you think Stroud's going to be the guy that falls the farthest here in the first round?
He could. And here's the thing. We were talking about this Will Levis situation. You know what? I'm sorry, but, predictions and, I mean, not predictions, but projections and you know, what your perceptions are reality. Will Levis looks better in Indianapolis, if you know what I'm saying. He is a guy that I think they would be patient with. And, you know, but he couldn't win out the job in Penn State. He had to leave Penn State. Trace McSorley beat him out.
Yep.
I'm always concerned about a guy who is not able to make it, so then he's moving
when
and transferring.
When you've got to jump ship to go find a starting position.
Who's the biggest project at quarterback as far as NFL players go, guys?
Biggest project, like in group one?
Yeah, in group one.
The only thing that I would say that's obvious is Anthony Richardson would probably need to be a little more accurate. But, again, everybody believes that when you go to practice every day, every morning, every evening, every afternoon, they can teach you accuracy because you have the physical tools to do it. Now you just have to work on technique. Mm-hmm. People, why do you think when people get ready for the combine and they work on taking off time on their 40, the way that you take time off, it's not that you're slow. It's that you have a technique that shaves off tenths of seconds, which then gets you paid.
All I know is this, Adrian's mock draft and Robert Garcia's mock draft couldn't be more different if you tried.
Really? I haven't read Robert's yet.
Yeah, like I'll just give you an example of the top five, okay?
Okay.
Adrian, in your top five, you have Bryce Young, Tyree Wilson, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, and Will Anderson Jr. Robert's top five would be Bryce Young, Will Anderson, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, and Jalen Carter. So the order is different. It really is. And then Robert's bottom five, 6 through 10, Devin Witherspoon, Christian Gonzalez, Nolan Smith, Peter Skoronski, and Tyree Wilson. Yours would be Witherspoon, Paris Johnson Jr., mm-hmm. Gonzalez, Jalen Carter, and Skoronski. So it is interesting to see how things are going between the two of you guys right now.
Well, but that's not that different.
The order is different.
What those scouts believe they can have for their hopefully 53-man roster. That's the important thing. How do these players, not their talent just for talent, how does it work for you? Because, again, if I asked you about, and I'll start with you, Steve, and then I'll give a more irrelevant, because Chris can play along this one. If you asked about Charlie's Angels between Farrah and Jaclyn Smith, who would you have picked and why? I don't take Farrah Fawcett, but Farrah Fawcett had the poster.
Yep.
Farrah Fawcett was a deal, but I love Jaclyn Smith from
Jaclyn Smith
fan all the way.
That would make three of us. We're all unanimous. I would have taken Jaclyn Smith over Farrah, too.
But the world would have said Farrah Fawcett.
Sure.
The world was all over Farrah
Fawcett. She was
Fawcett.
The poster girl of the Angels. Yes.
Exactly. So do you see what I mean? It's not that there weren't angels. It was which angel worked and fit for you and what you like to have, you know?
I like the analogy. Very good.
Great analogy.
Adrian,
no clue,
right? No clue.
Right.
Okay, so for him, we got to go like Katy Perry or Taylor Swift. You see what I'm saying? It just depends.
I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say Drew Barrymore, or
no, I had to get him. I had to get. And I had then, to get today.
No, I thought you were going to do the revamp of the Charlie's Angels.
Oh, I see. Go 2.0. Well,
yes.
I didn't know.
I don't even know if he knows the revamp of the Charlie's Angels.
Didn't watch the revamp. Did not watch the revamp.
See?
So,
no. but between
revamp,
Katie,
I was 4 years old when the revamp came out.
Right.
Oh my God.
So between, you know, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, I mean, what do you say?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I get your point, Foss. I hear what you're saying here. It's a catch and trade. Which person would you rather go with? That kind of thing. Where does Bijan Robinson get drafted?
Oh man, I think people are going to realize his versatility and the weapon that he can be—a weapon, not just a running back. If you look at Bijan as a weapon, he's more valuable than if you just call him a running back.
You're absolutely right, Steve. And I think that the talk this week and last week was all about that, you know, the generational thing from a running back, and that it just didn't exist and blah 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 blah. But you're right. People are going to see, and they're going to let it go. They're not going to. He's not going to go. They're not going to pick him in the first five. But he's slated
6 through 10, right, though, huh?
Guys, hang on. You got a quick shout out to end the hour. It's going to be Munch who joins us next. Munch, what's going on? How are you?
Oh my God,
fellas, I love this. I love the entertainment value I'm getting. Just wanted to say what's up to Foss and Chris. You guys are doing a great job.
Munch, always good to hear from you.
And I wanted to chime in and say the number one thing we're talking about today is Jaclyn Smith, right? She's got to be the number one choice.
Absolutely, Munch.
Hey, Munch, that's why you've been with us for 40 years as well.
You got a good eye, son.
Awesome. Any other questions, Munch, you have for these two since they're out there in Kansas City right now?
Oh man, did I lose them?
No, they're here. They're here the whole time. Is there anything else you want to ask them since they're here?
You know what? I did want to talk about Bijan Robinson, and if the Cowboys don't get him. What about the Alabama running back?
Well, the Cowboys aren't going to get him.
No, he's gone. Unless they trade up, he's off the board.
He has gone to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, my God, don't say that.
I'm going to say that.
I got one thing that I want to let you know.
No, we don't want to talk about that.
Oh, you don't want to talk about that?
Coming up on the top of the hour.
All right,
yeah,
guys.
I could go with the Alabama running back.
Yeah, that's a good call there, Munch.
Good job. Munch, appreciate it, man. Thanks for getting in the hour. Hey, hour number two, Lane Frank will be dropping by the studio. We'll have Lane and the boys all together. It's going to be a big party in our 5 o'clock hour. Stay tuned right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.
Great draft to be at.
It is a great draft to be at.
Any draft is great.
So here's the thing. They're standing by right now. What would be the first question you would want to ask those two, as we are now less than an hour away from the start of the draft? So what's the first thing you'd want to know from Steve and from Chris?
Best dressed player at the draft right now.
Oh, that's a great question. Great question.
What we'd see at the draft, that's probably the best thing you could see, how the players look.
Yeah, all
Their
right.
Players jittery, excited.
Foss, Chris, have we seen any glimpse yet of the players arriving and who's the best dressed? Are they there or are they not there?
I heard them here. Wait, let's see. Let's try that again.
Can you check?
Now
you
we hear Chris. All right.
So yes, Cappy. You know, it's very interesting that question was asked, because yesterday when we were at that morning event, several of the players were asked, you know, what's the dress for tomorrow? What are you going to be wearing? And none of them, not all of them actually, were very tight-lipped about it. They did not want to divulge what they were wearing. But that said, we have seen some of the top five guys come on the stage and walking the red carpet on their way to their staging area where they'll be sitting and waiting to see where they fall in the draft. And they're looking pretty sharp. You have all colors of suits and of course, you know, the big necklaces with their numbers on them, just coated in diamonds. So best dressed so far that I've seen, C.J. Stroud looked pretty sharp. He wasn't wearing a pink suit, but it was a kind of a, I don't even know what color it would be. But
he was kind of like James Bond.
Yeah, he looked sharp, you know, and then, of course, he had his big old necklace on and the shoes to match. So,
all right.
But there's a lot of picks to go, so you never know.
You going with CJ?
So far.
I liked Jackson. I like Jackson.
Yep.
JSN.
Similar color. But,
Buckeyes.
Two Buckeyes.
Yeah, Buckeyes.
That's exactly right. He's talking about Jackson Smith Najigba, the wide receiver who could be the first receiver off the board.
That's my first receiver off the board.
You do?
Yep.
By the way, you said something really interesting, Adam, and I got to get these two to talk about this because you tweeted out, this was 2 days ago, Bijan Robinson will be a Dallas Cowboy after Thursday night. Bookmark it.
Okay, Ezekiel Elliott was great for a few years in Dallas Cowboys. He had a great rookie year. You don't think Jerry Jones wants to relive that magic, especially with the veteran quarterback now? And Bijan Robinson will have a 1,000-yard rookie season. He will win Offensive Rookie of the Year. There's no debate about it, so why wouldn't the Cowboys want to trade up and get a guy like that, or even stay back and get a guy like that?
Well, I don't know if they're going to be able to stay back because I think he could be
back.
Gone.
Staying back means goodbye.
They won't get him. If they trade up, there's a possibility.
I have him going 26-21. Trading Turner.
No. He's going to go in the
top 10. I don't know. Like, running back's value can be interesting. Eagles, I don't think they take
it. Yeah, but you got to understand, Alex, that this is not just a running back. This is a running back who can.
I agree.
And don't buy into all this talk. Well, the running back's not valuable. If you get to the last 6 minutes of a game,
I agree,
and you can control the ball for 4.5 to 5 minutes of that 6 minutes with a good rusher who can get you 4.3 yards a carry at a minimum when you know it's coming, you win the game because you control the clock, you run you run the team's timeouts against you, and you basically kill the clock. And that a receiver can't do.
I think people just get nervous about drafting a running back first round. For example, we've had some busts in the first round. You could say Sonny Michel in 2018, horrible. But you have Nick Chubb going second round. You have Kareem Hunt going third round. Those are guys who are great running backs who win the later rounds. I think they value running backs in the later rounds. Say you get a Jameer Gibbs in the third
Michelle,
round.
Sonny Michel may have been a guy that should not have been ahead of Nick Chubb.
That's true.
I didn't have him ahead of Nick Chubb.
Sonny Michel is an older guy, so he was kind of early in his prime in college.
Exactly.
And then you have to realize the versatility of a Bijan Robinson.
But Bijan Robinson's different. Bijan's the best running back I've ever scouted, maybe even ahead of Saquon Barkley. So,
By the way, he loves Saquon. He said he loves Saquon.
Actually named him one of his top running back or his top running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Saquon's versatile.
Let me ask you this now. Lane, does Jahmyr Gibbs get drafted in the first round tonight?
I don't think Jahmyr Gibbs gets drafted tonight. But if he does get drafted, he's the only other running back getting drafted. It's going to be Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs. That's it. I don't think any other running back is first round even close value on them.
We'll agree with that.
Jahmyr Gibbs is a good talent, but
do the Cowboys take Jahmyr Gibbs if he's on the board?
I don't think you reach for Jahmyr Gibbs because he can bring that same value as Tony Pollard, but what are you going to do with two Tony Pollards? If you can have one Bijan Robinson who's elite and then one Tony Pollard as a backup, I don't really get what you do with two players same caliber as Tony Pollard.
Correct.
But
correct.
I don't even know if I call correct. Tony Pollard.
So I don't think any team reaches for Jahmyr Gibbs tonight unless they're desperate because you can always trade up in the second round.
Do you even call Tony Pollard a backup or do you call him a compliment? Because he's
compliment.
The kind of guy that when you give him a full
I think
blow,
that's what he meant. Yeah. I think that okay, I'm yeah. going to, okay, yeah. I'm going to go with that. And again, the question of Tony Pollard is, you know, today's medicine is phenomenal, but what if the ankle doesn't come back?
That's true. That's even more reason to go get yourself a guy like Bijan Robinson.
Mm-hmm. I think you see in college football a lot more. We have two running backs that complement each other. Say Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel in college, not really one of them is the backup. Dominic Edwards and Blake Corum right now, they just complement each other. Not one of them is the running back, the backup. So you can see that with the Cowboys. You could draft Bijan and Tony.
You get sneaky and you get Roshan, and you wait till the second or third round, and now you got value with a guy. You know, he's not Bijan. He's not. But if you talk about compliment and you want it with him with Tony Pollard, now you save some. Maybe you get the offensive lineman first or somebody.
Or a tight end.
Yeah, the tight end. Right.
Michael Mayer would be great with that Cowboys offense.
Exactly.
Yeah. I still want to go to Jaguars.
With Crisco. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You like is Michael Mayer your favorite tight end on the board, or is it Kincaid?
No, Kincaid I don't like that much. Kincaid wasn't even the starter coming into season for Utah. Not so Brent Kuthe got hurt. So I like Michael Mayer a lot more than Dalton Kincaid.
And Michael Mayer has been the number one guy in the class for over a year now. Everybody's loved him.
He's been the guy since they played Florida State Week 1 2021 season.
And Notre Dame has good tight ends.
They always do.
Ohio State hasn't come on the map with the QBs.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame is known for good time. Go back to Mark Bavaro, and I know he hasn't heard of that guy before.
Of course he's heard of Mark Bavaro. His parents are Giant fans.
Okay, well, there you go. Has he heard of Everson Walls, who's on the cover of the Sports Illustrated after the 92 Super Bowl win?
Never heard of Everson Walls, but, you know, Notre Dame does have some great tight ends. You could say Kyle Harrison, he was great. Tyler Eifert, he was great, went to Notre Dame. So, Notre Dame, tight end factory.
Everson Walls was a cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Football Giants. Won a Super Bowl with Otis Anderson, Mark Collins, and the Tuna, Bill Parcells.
And Jeff Hostetler.
Yes, and he happens to be my cousin as well. He's been a finalist for the NFL
yes.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Lane, are you surprised that it's taken Foss 11 minutes to drop a name during this segment? Usually he
only
does
when
it within,
necessary.
You know,
it was
seconds.
Just necessary.
I mean, that's awesome. Hopefully it makes Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Thank you. And you will be invited to the party.
That would be good.
That'd be great.
actually, Lane is making plans to be with us at Radio Row at the Super Bowl next year in Vegas.
He will
be with us, and he will get a chance to see this this craziness firsthand next year.
That's awesome. Now that, you made another good call. There's been good calls. Look, I like Adrian's mock draft. We got Lane. He's already made plans. Cappy, this is good. We're getting momentum. 600 ESPN El Paso. This is what I love about home.
Yes.
We're really getting committed to getting that excellence and that momentum on the national sports scene. And I love it. And I love being a part of the team.
Can we take Lane to parties next year since he'll be 16 years old? Will it be possible to get him in? Not the cigar party.
It depends on the venue.
But what about the other venues? I mean,
We can figure it out.
Lane is already smiling and shaking his head yes to me, so he is already working.
Well, if he believes, then we just have to get behind him, and he's got his lawyer with him.
Yeah, Lane will be just fine. Trust me.
Lane will be just fine.
I'm not worried about it.
As long as he stays in his lane, he'll be just fine.
Oh, yeah, he will. By the way, Schoolyard Sports, episode 121 drops today. Tell me about what you have coming up on the podcast.
Full mock draft special. That's it. Full mock draft special.
So the whole podcast devoted to the mock.
It's a yearly tradition. Third year we've done it. One of my favorite episodes to do all year.
All right. How many surprises did you throw in your mock?
Only a few. Not as much as last year.
Did you predict any trades?
I did predict a lot of trades. I had Texans trading up from 12 to 6 to get Anthony Richardson and Landry Sand number 2. I had the Bijan trade. I also had a Will Levis, Derrick Henry type of trade. Will Levis goes to the Titans. Eagles get Derrick Henry.
Eagles get Derrick Henry when it's all said and done.
That's interesting.
See, this is a fun. We got to have him on because you know
you do. You need to have Lane on your show.
He's opened up his mind to some very interesting and realistic possibilities.
I agree, especially the Derrick Henry trade to Philadelphia. Because was it your draft, Adrian, where you predicted the Eagles to trade up and with the Buccaneers and get Bijan Robinson?
No, so I reversed, right? So Tampa Bay trading up to take a tackle at number 10, and then Tampa actually relinquishing that 19th overall pick to the Eagles. Bijan Robinson dropping to 19, Eagles landing him there. Guys,
I think Bijan, if I had to bet, he'd beat Eagle by the end of the night.
Historically speaking, guys, there are not running backs taken in the top 15. We have to look all the way back to Saquon to find somebody in the top 10. Bijan is the top running back, no doubt about it. Running backs are just not valued. Going back to our earlier discussion, running backs are not valued in the NFL right now.
I think
you say not valued, but here's the thing. You got to look at a person and a position as a weapon. It's just like saying Jalen Hurts, what's his value as a quarterback? Well, and Lamar Jackson, who just got his 5-year deal, they also rush the ball well from their position. You don't see that. Same thing with Bijan. He's unbelievable if you just categorize him as a running back. But if you use him as an offensive weapon, now things expand and increase because he can catch the ball downfield.
Mm-hmm. I hear you on that one. All right. We got so much more to get to with Lane, who's going to be sticking around with us. Of course, the Foss and Chris Fernandez from KC at the draft itself on Radio Row. But let's go to Charlie One. He's back right now with his traffic update.
All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. Before we continue here with our discussion involving the 2023 NFL Draft, I want to tell everybody out there about my experience working with Clean Water of El Paso. They are the top water softener company here in El Paso, and they've done it for the last 25 years. Clean Water of El Paso will sit down with you and your family, and they'll actually show you what you can take advantage of as far as their water softener systems at your own home, thanks to their free water analysis. You can get rid of metals, get rid of bacteria that's found in your water on a daily basis. See why companies like Hotel Indigo, Starbucks, Whole Foods trust Clean Water of El Paso, and why we love Clean Water of El Paso at my home. Go online today, cleanwaterofelpaso.com, or give them a call to set up an appointment for that free water analysis today. 915-856-0059. That number again is 915-856-0059 for Clean Water of El Paso.
All right, we're back here right now with Lane Frank, the host of Schoolyard Sports. The podcast drops tonight. It's devoted entirely to the NFL draft. The Foss, Steve Foster, Chris Fernandez. Guys, I want to ask you about another player, and I want to throw this over at Lane since we've talked a lot about him on the show here over the last few days, and that is the edge rusher Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. I have heard comparisons to Kayvon Thibodeau, Lane, who had a terrific rookie season for the Giants when he was healthy. How do you see Wilson, and where do you think he ends up?
I think Wilson ends up at number 3 with the Arizona Cardinals. You know, you could see a trade there where they lose that pick to Tennessee if they trade that pick with DeAndre Hopkins, all those rumors going on right now. But I would pick Tyree Wilson right there. Very versatile. I think someone I compare him to is Trayvon Walker. That's a little bit better. Not a guy who has the best stats, but physical-wise, length, all that, I'd say it's great. Can translate well to the NFL.
Yeah, it's funny because at Texas Tech at the linebacker spot, it was really Merriweather who got all the stats and all the accolades.
Yeah, he was Wilson was injured.
Right, and racking up all those numbers. And you wonder, had Wilson been healthy, would Merriweather had the kind of season that he ended up having in Lubbock?
Wilson, if he came back, you know, maybe if he was on a bigger stage, people would have thought if he goes to Texas and has that same season, he could be number 1 overall pick.
How do you grade the quarterbacks out? Who do you like the most of the elite, and who do you like the least?
What I think of it is this quarterback class is they all can't be great, and they all can't be bad. One of them is going to be great. One of them is going to be horrible. I'd say the one I had to bet best to be horrible might be Anthony Richardson, even though I still do like Anthony Richardson, or C.J. Stroud, because obviously he couldn't win big games in college. Let's see if he can win big games in the NFL. Bryce Young, though, if I had to pick one, just... safe pick, Bryce Young. I think not the high ceiling, but definitely not the lowest forward all. So Bryce Young, most consistent. He's going number 1 to the Panthers.
You didn't mention Will Levis. Do you think he's going to be a bust, or do you like him?
I think Will Levis could just be a bunch of mid, you could say. Not so much of a Hall of Famer, but, you know, he can get you a few good seasons, maybe get you a Matt Ryan type of career.
I know you're biased.
I think Andy Richardson has the highest upside.
Okay. I know you're biased because you hate Ohio State as a Michigan fan. That being said, why is it, in your opinion, that, and I'm not going to put this on C.J. Stroud, but why is it that Ohio State has never really had good quarterbacks at the NFL level? They've always had great college quarterbacks, but why has it never translated to the NFL? And maybe Justin Fields will be the exception when it's all said and done.
I just don't know if they ever really had the opportunity. I mean, Braxton Miller wasn't ever really a college NFL type of guy, transitioned to wide receiver. Cardale Jones, he was never going to do anything. JT Barrett, same thing. He was just a winner. JT Barrett wasn't necessarily an athlete. Dwayne Haskins, obviously, circumstances happened with him. Justin Fields, you can see. But C.J. Stroud, if I had to pick out any of these guys, C.J. Stroud would have the highest upside. I think just what he showed in college was the best out of all these Ohio State quarterbacks. I think he and Dwayne Haskins had very similar careers. So let's see how it goes.
Even historically, Ohio State has not done well at the NFL level for the quarterback position. It's been a tough, tough run for them. And
C.J. Stroud's the safest, though.
You do. You like C.J. Stroud.
I do like C.J. Stroud, but I think if one of these guys is just going to do nothing with their career, it'd be C.J. Stroud. I have all these quarterbacks.
And how come that's the case? Even though you like him, why do you think he would be the one guy doing nothing?
Because if you can't win a big game in college, if you can't deal with the weather in college, I don't know how you're going to do in the NFL. Even if he goes to a team like Indianapolis, that's a dome, that's great. I just don't know how you do against NFL defenses because you're not going to play with a wide receiver core. That's Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and Jack Smith and Jigba, all guys who are first-round picks.
All right. As far as the deepest position in the NFL draft, if you had to pick the deepest position, what is it right now?
I think it's always going to be wide receiver, maybe. This is also a very good tight end class. Defensive end, Will McDonald, even some underrated guys, Nolan Smith. So if I had to pick one right now, I'd probably go with defensive edge because you're going to have a lot go off tonight and Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson, Miles Murphy, Nolan Smith. So it'll be good.
And as far as bargains go, you think that the receiving core is deep once again. You'll see a lot of good bargains. And then, as we all know, you load up on running backs, usually in rounds 3 through 5.
Even 7, Isaiah Pacheco.
There's another good one. So you're right. It's just, and that's probably a good reason why teams don't value running backs as much as other positions, because they know they can get them. They know they're expendable, and therefore running backs just, they drop.
How many running backs do you think of the top 25 players in the NFL?
That's a great question. Top 25 players
in the
NFL.
That's why you still have to use high picks on them, because the best running backs, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, these guys were top picks. I would still take a top pick on a Bijan Robinson.
Would you make the argument then that Saquon Barkley is the top 25 player overall in the NFL?
When healthy, yes.
That's a good point. Christian McCaffrey is he's hardly healthy, so it's hard to put him in as the top 25.
I think Ezekiel Elliott, his rookie season, he looked like an MVP.
Is there anybody else you would put in at the running back spot in the top 25?
Aaron Jones used to be up there. I mean, if he can have a solid season this year, but Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, these guys seem invincible at this point.
Adrian, what about you? Top 25 players at the running back spot.
You know, when it's playoff time, Derrick Henry is still, to me, and when he's healthy, he's just an out-of-this-world kind of running back. And then outside of that, I feel like you can kind of go running back by committee. But, hey, I got to turn it to Foss because he's dying over here. He needs to get a word in.
All right, go ahead, Foss.
You're talking about something I know a little bit about. And again, Christian McCaffrey can control a game. He literally made San Francisco, as one player, eons better than they were.
Much.
Okay? And he's not Derrick Henry, and he's not Saquon Barkley.
Running backs are game changers.
He's a weapon that is a huge game changer. He's in the top 25 best players in the NFL.
All right. Let me preface this by saying that Lane – Foss played college football at Princeton after playing high school ball here at Eastwood. So he is a natural running back, was one of the top backs in the city of El Paso coming out before he went to Princeton on his academic scholarship. So, yes, when you bring up running backs, it always hits close to home for Steve because that was the position he played in college.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, and led the district and was one of the top rushers in the city by district champs.
Listen, Lane wasn't around in those days. His mom was a kid when you were playing college football and high school football.
Does not take away the fact.
That's true.
You don't say we're not going to talk about rest in peace the great Franco Harris because he played earlier, or the great Tony Dorsett.
So here's the deal. Lane, 40 years ago, this guy, Steve Foster, was a really good running back in El Paso. But 40 years ago, there was a lot of things that were a little different than they are right now. So that was long before the internet, social media, computers. We had cell phones that were in cars instead of other places.
Game that you can count on. It doesn't matter what offense you have. Mm-hmm. With a good running game, you can change the world because you can keep the football out of the hands of the opponent. And as we say, championship teams are made with great defenses and quarterbacks.
But the truth is running backs are considered expendable, which is why they don't have a premium on them unless you're talking about Bijan Robinson.
The only reason why running backs are considered, to me, in my opinion, expendable because they get banged up and beat up.
That's why the best college running backs, at least stats-wise, aren't always considered the best NFL prospects. Say Bryce Love, Don Pumphrey, these guys had amazing college careers, and they're not in the NFL.
And that's why some of the best teams in the NFL have the better run schemes versus having the better running backs. Tell me which 49ers running back besides CMC that you're trusting on a week-in, week out. They'll throw anybody out
Elijah,
there in the backfield.
No, Elijah Mitchell was pretty legit.
But then you could go through all the other
Michael
guys.
You can go through all these guys.
Yeah, we can go through all of them. Raheem Mostert last year, we can go through all of them.
And by the way, what happened to Mitchell? He got hurt, so it's next man up. And again, that happens
Samuel.
A lot.
That's the issue.
CJ Stroud's
But guys... that keep themselves, and that's why I asked the question to Bijan about his workout in the weight room. You can do things to protect yourself. The great Jim Brown never injured. He ran over everything, everybody, and through everything. There are guys, Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton. There's guys who are mega game changers. They don't come along day in and day out, but I'll tell you this too. Anybody really can run a football. Anybody. If you know what you're doing and know how to follow your blocks, you ought to be able to get 3 yards. It's not the 3 yards in the cloud of dust or the black rubber pebbles that they have pellets on the field now. What it is the guy that can break one for 60, and you got to watch that, because when you fake it to him and you go over the top and you hit one of these wide receivers, boom, that's 6 points because they're that athletic and talented.
All right.
And that's what's interesting about NFL running backs. I mean, you can see Jahmyr Gibbs have 5 60-yard rushes his rookie season, 3 the next year, and then none after that, because that's how burnt out running backs can be. Let's see if we can see that at Bijan Robinson, more steady.
Yeah, but you've also got to look at what they have playing with them.
Yes.
There's a lot of injury that takes place with your offensive line. Trust me, as a fullback blocking for a running back, you know, it's more than just running the ball. You have to understand, and you've got to have the big guys up there blocking for you. And if you don't have that, yeah, you're not going to have it.
Emmitt Smith
without his
Moose,
offensive line.
Without,
exactly,
and Moose, right. And Walter Payton without a guy named Matt Sui, who you probably don't know, or, again, go to YouTube. Those blocking fullbacks make all the difference. And Max Strong made all the difference for Sean Alexander, yeah, in Seattle. I can go on and on and on because I am a student and a historian of the game. You have to know what you're working with and dealing with to be successful.
Let's talk about running backs in the 21st century, guys. I mean, like, we don't prioritize running backs nowadays,
Adrian,
like we used to.
But you have
quarterbacks
to
and wide receivers are the focus of the league.
You can't go back and say that a running back did had a great year this year and then he didn't have a great year the next year, and just look at his running. You have to look at the things that helped him run. Was his line intact? Most of the times you could say that they were not.
You can throw the ball in 2 seconds from the shotgun and have a crappy line because you get enough time for a guy to get hopefully a release and just throw the ball. Roll out the pocket. That gives you time. It's different when you run the ball. Teams that can run the ball as well, they did it in Philadelphia, and they've done it even in Kansas City. Yes, it may be by committee, but those teams get to the top spots in the NFL because they can control the clock with the run as well.
I don't think it's about an O-line regressing at all. I mean, you think about it, Todd Gurley, what happened to him? It wasn't because the O-line failed him. It's because he failed himself, the knees, all the injuries. I think that's what happens. Running backs get burnt out, not because of an O-line. I think Todd Gurley hit the hole great his first few years of the career and then kind of lost it when he got to Atlanta.
I don't think they burn out. I think they get beat up.
And they both happen, Todd Gurley.
Yeah, listen, we could debate this till we're blue in the face, but the fact is there will only be at best 2 running backs drafted in the first round tonight. And
we agree with that. Again, but you have to still have quality, and more teams are made of 3rd through 7th rounders than they are 1st through 2nd, or 4th through 7th rounders than they are 1st through 3rd.
All right, listen, we've got a few minutes left with Lane. He's going to be back in time to watch the draft when it starts up at 6 o'clock. I got to ask you some other topics that you have not talked about this week on Schoolyard Sports, episode 121, which drops tonight, okay? Michigan playing UTEP in college football in 2026, your freshman year of college.
I know, you're going to have to come up for that. If I'm at Michigan, you are going to have to come up for that game.
I want to be at the Big House to see that.
You've never been to the Big House,
right? I've never been to Michigan. I've never been to the state of Michigan.
Ann Arbor's different than the state of Michigan.
Ann Arbor's in the state of Michigan.
But it's a little bit different than the rest of the state of Michigan.
Well, I know it's not Detroit, but it's in Michigan, right? So, and you've been to Ann Arbor, haven't you?
Of course.
Many times.
Many times.
That's what I figured. I look forward to seeing
It'll
you on your college campus. Reaction when you heard the news, UTEP would be playing Michigan in football.
I mean, you and I were talking about it a few weeks ago, but it's kind of always that kind of dream. It's like, well, why doesn't UTEP call it Michigan for a Mickey Mouse game? If New Mexico State can call up Alabama, that'd be awesome if UTEP called it Michigan for one of those Mickey Mouse games, and that's what's happening. So,
you know what's a problem, though? And by the way, you call it Mickey Mouse. How much do you think Michigan's paying for that Mickey Mouse game against UTEP? What do you figure? A million? Million?
300,000?
Oh, no, it's over a million.
900?
I would think it's
over a million.
It's
got
to be over a million.
Probably 1.2.
It's about between 1.2, 1.3, something like that. See,
any odds UTEP wins that game?
What do you think?
Let's think about it. So Michigan's going to lose J.J. McCarthy after this year. They'll have Jaden Davis in 24, 25, and they'll have him in 26. If he doesn't pan out, they'll have Bryce Underwood, who's a five-star quarterback right now, probably going to commit to Michigan. So I'd say Michigan wins that game by about 55, maybe more.
That's about right. I think that's fair. I do. I think that's pretty accurate, given everything. Not to mention, we don't know who will be quarterback in UTEP in 2026. Because
Jake McNamara.
We don't. It's, how wild would it be if senior Jake McNamara goes into Ann Arbor, quarterbacking the minors against for a place where his brother starred at? That would be
interesting.
That would be interesting, Agent. I even thought about that possibility.
See, I can't even picture anybody on this current roster with the transfer portal being what it is, staying here till 2026. I mean, maybe there are a couple who stick around, but I mean, it's just hard to come up with guys who are going to still be at UTEP in 2026 who are on the roster now.
That's true.
Over under how many UTEP players get drafted this week?
How about zero?
Not even Jadrian Taylor?
No, and I feel
he's been
bad.
Pushing for it. But
he is. I love Jadrian Taylor.
4.3 dash as a defensive end.
He's not even listed right now on anybody's draft board as far as the top edge rusher, which is so sad.
I mean, if he plays in a bigger conference, I mean, you've seen guys play in bad conferences and still have great NFL draft success. Say Khalil Mack when he was at Buffalo, he had a great season. And he was top five pick, so why couldn't Jadrian Taylor get attention like that?
Will Hernandez was a second round pick on a winless UTEP team. Winless UTEP team. Aaron Jones, fifth round pick on a UTEP team that won, I think it was, four games his final year there. Nick Needham is playing for the Dolphins. He wasn't even drafted. So
the guy in the Jaguars.
No, you're right. And then you look at some of the others that have had a chance to make it. Eric Tomlinson. And then we also have
Roy Robinson-Harris.
That's right. Yeah, another one. Jaguars. So it's there are possibilities out there. And by the way, one other thing I got to ask you, okay? Give me your take on money games, because UTEP is going to be playing like two money games in 2024 and 2026.
They get until they bite you. But I don't think it's ever going to bite you in football. It can bite you in basketball, not football. This is the skill difference in football between a program like UTEP and a program like Michigan is it's too much.
Oh, yeah.
For an upset to happen.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. Now, UTEP could go into Chicago and play Northwestern tough and beat
them. And
that
can be a good game, but
that's a possibility.
That is an interesting game.
So, and that's happening this year. I could see that, but nobody thinks. Like, it's like, you know, next year UTEP has to play Nebraska, and they have to play Tennessee.
Well, Nebraska week zero, that's going to be a very interesting game.
You think?
Matt Rhule? I mean, that's a good game for UTEP. Week zero, get some attention. Maybe it'll be on ESPN.
All right. Good way to look at it. I like you always have the glasses half full.
Michigan's going to be on ABC probably against UTEP?
I would, you know what,
or that Fox, because the new Big Ten contracts.
Yeah, probably on Fox. I could see that.
So, I mean, it's good touch for UTEP. I mean, UTEP had Fox this year against Oklahoma.
But you know what happens when, seriously, there's two things now. Remember this, okay? When UTEP loses New Mexico State, now they're in the conference together, you got to replace that game every year. So you thought that was a done deal. That game was always a home and home. You never had to worry about it. Now you got
to
worry about it.
Now you have to find a game to get beat up on every year.
You're right.
And that's good.
But it's good and it's not good, because you want to play one of those games, not two. Two's a lot. That's a lot of...
It's more attention.
Yeah, but it's tough having to play two.
I know, it's tough
fives.
For the team to think about, but I think it's still interesting. If you can ever pull off an upset, that program has changed forever.
This tweet came in a moment
Appalachian
ago.
Appalachian State can do against Texas A&M.
Let's go back to... It's true. It's
Appalachian State can do against Michigan.
They did. Esteban tweeting the show. Robinson is going to the Eagles and tormenting the Cowboys for the next few years. So, how about this? Enrique Ortiz, Northwestern football game in 2023 is a money game, but it's a money game I believe UTEP can win.
If there's any Power 5 program UTEP can beat, it might just be Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. So. That's very true. All right, episode 121, dropping here later tonight with your full mock draft. It's all about the mock.
All about the mock.
All right. Excellent. Anything else you want to wrap up? Oh, NBA playoffs. Our thoughts on what you've seen so far?
Heat-Knicks, that's going to be a great series.
It is going to be fun.
Warriors going up 3-2 on the Kings. Stealing one, Sacramento, that's great. And then a lot of great series going on in the NBA.
Real quick, we'll last question, Lane. Your thoughts on the Lamar deal?
Lamar, it's good and bad. And I talked to Steve about this. We both agreed on it. I said it sets a horrible precedent because he's self-represented. A lot of guys are going to say, hey, I'll just self-represent, not have to waste those $7 million on agent fee. Lamar's saving about that. But one day, one of these players is going to get bit by it. I mean, Laremy Tunsil is also self-represented. He's the highest paid offensive tackle in NFL history. But one day, one of these players is going to be self-represented. It's going to nip in the butt.
Right. Le'Veon, it happened to him already.
It did. That's a good point. But Le'Veon also sat out.
Le'Veon was different. Le'Veon kind of started a whole new era.
I agree with you. All right,
the era that running backs don't matter as much.
It is terrific seeing you. Thank you for everything.
Great to be back.
Good to have you back.
Let's talk throughout the night about the draft.
Next week, we get to recap the whole draft with you. That's going to be fun. Give us your winners, losers, favorite picks, least favorite picks. It's going to be fun with Schoolyard Sports.
I'm excited. Great to be back.
You bet. He's Lane Frank, folks. 121 dropping tonight as we continue from our River Oaks properties, Schoolyard Sports Studios here at 600 ESPN El Paso. We'll come back more at the NFL Draft and then Chihuahuas baseball less than an hour away here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Back on Sports Talk as we continue 47 past the hour. Back right now with the Foss, Steve Foster, Chris Fernandez. They're hanging out live at Radio Row in Kansas City, site of the 2023 NFL Draft. Well, gentlemen, that was a pretty lively first couple segments with Lane, who is on his way to watch the NFL Draft, and you guys are there. And now we're going to see if we're going to see some trades, and these first four or five picks should be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I can't say after Bryce Young what happens. It could be trades, you know. They were sitting next to the guys from Houston. They're like, well, maybe it's better for us to trade down and get more value out of that second pick if we're not going to pick a quarterback, you know. So it could go right after that first pick.
Yeah, I really think you're going to see some moves from some of the teams to either come trade up and take an earlier pick.
Right.
But for sure, I think you're going to see Alabama quarterback Bryce Young go number one. And I think the first round is going to be a little bit more defensive player heavy than normal.
Guys, I want to ask you something more on a fun and personal level, since you all have experienced a ton of NFL drafts in your history. What is your favorite all-time draft story? Like, whether it's as a fan growing up, whether it's actually being at one of these, what are your individual favorite draft stories?
You know, Adrian, not the homer pick, but I'm going to tell you that our experience last year in Vegas doing the show with you and Cappy was great. I think the most memorable part for me was the night that we walked out. We hear music thumping on the other side of the wall. We had no idea, or we had all forgotten that Ice Cube was in concert, and we went out and took in the concert from the side of the stage and just had a really good time. And to me, that was a real memorable part, because I think, you know, we were all happy, we were laughing, we were listening to Foss do his thing. Along with the concert. So that's probably my go-to moment for what I liked about it.
I like that, too. I think that's a good way to, you know, break it down and talk about it. I know the Foss loved that. He still loves that. He loves seeing the videos of that.
It was fun. It was fun bringing the city of El Paso and being part of the broadcast media on the road. And then particularly for me, seeing a guy that has been very personable and mature in front of me, which was Garrett Wilson,
yep,
wind up being a top 10 pick and then the offensive rookie of the year.
Hey, how about this? Apparently, according to Adam Schefter, the Eagles and Cardinals settled a tampering investigation today involving the hiring of former Philly DC Jonathan Gannon as Arizona's head coach. Per sources, the Eagles will trade number 94 in this draft and a fifth-round pick next year to the Cardinals for pick 66 in this draft. So that is interesting. So the Cardinals send the 66th overall pick to the Eagles in exchange for 94 this year and a fifth-rounder next season.
Awesome. Good news. Okay. Hey, Cappy, just a little highlight here. We've got the national anthem starting. You've got all the top picks on the stage. A couple of A-10 Warthogs are doing a flyby. It's starting, so it begins.
Yeah, it does. In fact, we're just 9 minutes away from the top of the hour, so you're right. The draft is just a few moments away. I'm excited about that. Guys, I'm curious, because our first trip out with you for the NFL was last draft in Vegas. Would you say that there's about the same amount of media represented from around the country at this draft, or is there more from the Midwest, since it's located out there in Kansas City, Missouri?
No, everybody showed up. We got our guy Q Myers from Vegas and Raider Nation. We've got Houston. We run into folks from, you know, Kansas City. We were in, big shout out to Sports Radio 810 that allowed us to be in their studios yesterday with y'all. But we've seen them from everywhere. Yeah, California, you name it, Pittsburgh. There's rooms. There are rooms now. How they've done it. So there's multiple rooms of media.
Yeah, well, I will say
Jets,
that
the actual
the actual radio row that we're looking at right now, Cappy, is not as large as what you saw in Vegas, but
no.
In its totality,
right.
There's
not
the
one
same
big
number.
Room.
Yeah, it's
there's several rooms.
Ah, so you have radio row room 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I got
you. Yeah, something to that effect.
That does make sense. Have you guys been walking around a lot, or have you pretty much been sticking around to this radio row?
You know, we sat in this room for a little bit. We did get a really good meal next door. We did walk down to the interview rooms, took a couple of photo opportunities there. We will make a trip to
met up with some good guys from Connecticut.
Yeah,
and where was the other gentleman from? Florida? No.
So they are catering to you guys food-wise. They're not making you go out and buy food like you did at the Super Bowl.
Correct. We've had a good meal. We've got another one that is being staged for us as we speak.
Good for you. All right. Very nice. You got being well-fed is part of the job. That comes with the territory, guys. You know
but
that.
I will say this, Cappy, that so far, the meals that we had in Vegas, they're going to be pretty hard to top.
I believe it.
And have not yet.
Another question is, after the draft is over tonight, will the two of you be going out anywhere or just going home and coming right back and do it again tomorrow?
That's a good question.
Well, we talked about that, you know, because we had a 22-hour day yesterday, which semi took its toll. But, you know, when you're on these trips, you're going to be going, 100 miles an hour. So there is a large probability that we will partake somewhere tonight.
You get invited to a lot of things if you're halfway kind and decent to folks.
Just say it. You get invited to things when you're me. That's what you want to say. That, you know, the kind of decency was really nice, but don't sugarcoat it, Foss. It's you.
Well, you know, along with that, you know, forget it. You're right. You're right, Cappy. It's everybody that he knows that gets us forever going. Why am I even
lying? Of course he knows. That's why he's not saying a word, and you're doing all the talking, Chris.
Well, he looks at me like, hey, cover my six, but I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I know. All right, guys, we're going to come back when we wrap things up with you. Final 30 minutes with Steve and Chris from Kansas City. Hags joining us from the ballpark. And the NFL draft right around the corner here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Welcome back as we continue. Our coverage resumes out in Kansas City with the Foss and Chris Fernandez, and that place looks packed right now. Oh, my goodness gracious. There are people everywhere. And I'll say this, guys. Fans go no matter where the draft is. They make their plans, don't they?
They do, Cappy. And you know, they're showing a shot of from the top.
An aerial view.
Beautiful. The venue is awesome. It's really done up well. But there is a sea of red out there. The Kansas City Chiefs are out in numbers.
I would hope so. They're hosting it. You would think that they'd be out there in numbers, right, Adrian?
Yes. They're a massive Chief contingent out in Kansas City right now, which is to be expected. Guys, I just want to let you – I'm not going to break who the first overall pick is. I'm just going to tell you, it wasn't Adam Schefter. It wasn't Ian Rappaport. It was Sham Sharania out of the NBA. He's the NBA insider. He's the first one to report the top overall pick.
Are you serious? Serious?
Yes.
Sham Sharania broke it?
Yes. He's well-connected. He's plugged in. He knows these agents.
Wow. That was not what I expected. But, it is kind of interesting. By the way, do the two of you hate it when everybody tries to break every pick minutes before they get officially announced on social media?
No, because they can be wrong.
I mean, when was the last? No, they're not.
They're not wrong. Shams is not wrong.
They're never wrong. Never wrong. Sham Sharania is never wrong.
There's like a circle of like five guys you can always trust whenever they throw something out. They're always money.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But does it bother me? No.
Okay.
I mean, somebody's got to have something, right? You know? I'm very fortunate that I had the ability to participate in the sports and not only just report on the sport. That has been, I think that's a very huge, humbling thought. Because now when we're just reporting, I do have the good memories, the fond memories of, you know, as I recall, do that. And I'm sure it could be the same for Chris. I'm not speaking for him on that.
No, you're right. It's you know, having been in the sports and having the opportunity to play as long as I did, it's really cool when you watch these events go on and I get excited. I mean, when I was out there, just seeing the excitement in all these kids, I say kids, student athletes, these young men that are about to have their lives changed. I mean, here in about 24 hours, mm-hmm. they're gonna be millionaires. And it's just
true.
So awesome to watch them and to see the excitement that they have getting to have this opportunity.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you guys heard this or not because it was bleeding through your microphones, but whatever station is near you just called Sham Sharani an idiot for trying to break it. That was really good.
That's ESPN Houston saying that, you know, tweeting the pick. Does it bother me? No, but it's funny because people want to have fame.
Well, everybody wants to be first, you know?
And they want to be first, but to me, being able to play team sports and be someone's teammate, mm-hmm. a good teammate, means everything to me because everybody wants to be able to hit the home run.
Sure.
Everybody wants to be able to score the winning touchdown. Well, you know what? I've had the chance to do that. And I feel pretty darn good that I've played with Super Bowl champions. I've been on coaching staffs that are national champions. And the list goes on and on. No name dropping, but the experiences that I've had, I am so thankful for. And I love the fact that I can collaborate with y'all now to share in these current ones as well.
Had you stayed healthy at Princeton and not gotten hurt, do you believe you would have had a legitimate chance to make an NFL roster?
I would have had a chance, a legitimate chance. I would have been in camp. I would have definitely been in a camp. I was asked my first year of law school to be in the Saskatchewan Rough Riders camp after I helped my roommate, who was the Big 8 Offensive Player of the Year at quarterback, run routes with him. I still have the card from the coach. So it was something that I could build on and be very thankful for that I had that type of skill set. And that now I do love getting all the variations of thought and theme from, you know, Lane, Adrian, you, Chris, and all the people that we get the opportunity to speak with.
Okay. I've never asked you that question, and I was just kind of curious as to how you would answer it.
So. Well, I tell you what. I asked Jason Garrett one day, and he said Foss definitely would have been in camp, and he said without a doubt somewhere he would have had an NFL experience.
Nice.
And that was cool. That was cool to know and hear.
Hang on, boys. Here we go. Let's hear from the commish.
In the Super Bowl winning city with fans of all 32 teams and the Chiefs kingdom. As you can see, I have some friends on stage with me that you might recognize. They are Kansas City natives and love this community and their Chiefs. Give it up for Eric Stonestreet and Heidi Gardner of Big Slick Kansas City.
I have no idea who they are. Adrian, do you?
No clue.
Okay, just making sure.
Okay, Kansas City, I'm so happy to be here.
Let me say this,
and it
too.
It is my honor right now Chiefs legends Dante Hall and Will Shields.
And, yeah, I'm going to name drop it. I was on staff when Will Shields was playing at the University of Nebraska, and I will see him most likely this evening. If not sooner.
All right. Kansas City, I want to hear you. Home of the Super Bowl champions. This is how we do it. I get the distinct pleasure of welcoming two people you might recognize. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelsey.
That's very cool. They show up holding the Super Bowl trophy. That's one way to start a party, right, Adrian?
What a cool scene right there. I love it. I mean, man, we got a chance to see both these guys earlier this year at the Super Bowl, and to see them take the stage in front of all their fans, that's a great moment.
Yeah, this doesn't happen very often when you can host the draft at the defending Super Bowl champion's house. That is pretty cool. So the fans are going crazy right now. In a few minutes, let's hear Mahomes.
I think we can do a little bit better than that. Chiefs Kingdom, can I hear you out there?
All right.
They pulled in a
Texas reference.
Hey, Chiefs
Kingdom, we in this thing or what?
An Austin, Texas reference.
Woo! Hey, we fought for our right to party, baby. How about it? This thing shiny or what? Goodell, you going to give me this mic all night? Hey, you ready to trade up for the number one pick this year or what? Beats, get him, Beats!
Travis Kelce just said, Goodell, you ready to give me this mic all night?
It's time to get the show started. The 2023 NFL Draft is now officially open. The Carolina Panthers are on the clock.
All right, so there you go. That is quite the open to a draft, gentlemen. That was about as wild as it gets.
Well, they earned the right, and you absolutely want to put on a show, and you're the defending Super Bowl champs, and you have guys like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, the Hall of Famer Will Shields, Dante Hall, the Texas A&M Aggie, good guy. Met him actually at Will Shields' induction party in 2015.
Yeah, it's funny too, Cappy. You're sitting here in Radio Row, and those who are not, a lot of folks that are not broadcasting, just like any other NFL fan, stand up to watch it. Because it is an exciting moment.
Guys, I want to ask you this, or I want to just drop this out there. If Bryce Young is indeed the first overall pick, which Sham Sharania reported, Alabama will break the record that Miami had for the most consecutive drafts with a first-round pick. Bryce Young is the 42nd first-round draft pick that Nick Saban has coached in 16 years at Alabama.
Hey, he is doing extremely well. I wish Coach Osborne wouldn't have gone into politics and been a congressman. I think we would have been up there at Nebraska as we had an awesome run throughout the 90s, especially early. Well, I kind of predicted before it was on Twitter. I put Bryce Young as my cover picture on Facebook. It wasn't the 2 million people, but almost 5,000.
By the way, just out of curiosity, guys, to move up 8 spots, which is exactly what Carolina did, they had to surrender a second-round pick this year, a first-round pick next year, DJ Moore, and then I think they also gave up like a fourth-round pick in 2025. You tell me, is that – because you're going to look back on this draft and say, all right, is Bryce Young worth all of that collateral when it's all said and done?
Well, time will tell, right, Cappy? I mean, we got to go through training camp and then, once the season starts. But I think that, that all they gave up is going to pan out, and it's going to be worth it for them.
Alabama's regime of quarterbacks, the only two really good ones that jump off the page to me, Bart Starr and Joe Namath.
Well,
Jalen
Hurts
being the third.
That's unfair. Too early.
Hold up. We said that about Ohio State, and that wasn't unfair. But they've got three. And the latest one, Jalen Hurts, is modern, so I like the pick. I'm not going to disagree with the fact that Bryce Young is the first guy. I would take him as well. I'm not saying that, but we do talk about schools not having people come out and be top class quarterbacks when they move from college to pros.
Yes.
I think Bryce Young can do it.
I'm with you, Adrian. I think that it is early, but I think the season will tell, and I think he's going to do a good job.
Yeah. Is Frank Reich the kind of coach that can develop, along with Josh McCown, his quarterback coach, Bryce Young at that level?
Yeah. Remember, Frank the Third Reich came back on the daggum Houston Oilers and when he was a Buffalo Bill, and that was one of the biggest comebacks in NFL history, especially during the playoffs. And with a guy like that and what he's done in the NFL as a coach and what he's learned, absolutely.
Okay. Fair enough. Meanwhile, they're going to be making a selection here soon, I would assume. The pick will be in, and then we can finally get this thing officially started, even though we already know who the selection's going to be. Isn't that the toughest part of this draft right now, Adrian? Why would Carolina take it all the way down to the end if we already know it's Bryce Young?
Yeah, I think this is all for TV purposes.
Yep. Yeah, and, there you go.
And it's okay. I mean, Bryce Young right now, you talked about Josh McCown. He was thought to be in line for the Houston Texans head coaching job before they finalized the deal with D'Amico Ryans. He wants to prove that he could actually, you know, mold a quarterback in a failing system and turn it into a winner. What an opportunity right here to do it. Bryce Young, guy who does not have the physical stature that you might want in a quarterback, but a guy who could throw and on film is exceptional, just like anybody else that we've evaluated
over
the years.
I'll say this, and I've hung out with Drew Brees at his charity event and different things like that. Bryce Young is as big as Drew Brees. There's a guy named Doug Flutie who played extremely well. Pat Hayden took the Rams to the playoffs. These guys, not the tallest guys. In fact, you may not like him, but Baker Mayfield took the Browns after 20 seasons to the playoffs as well. They're all about the same size. Can you win a ball game? That's what I want to know. I don't care if you're 6'5". I've seen a bunch of 6'5 quarterbacks that are horrible. Yeah. Give me a 6-foot guy that can ball. They're not Kyler Murray, but Jalen Hurts isn't the tallest guy either.
I hear you. All right, guys, we got to take a break. It's about 4 minutes and change until the first pick gets announced. We'll hopefully have that announced when we come back. But first, let's go to Charlie 1 and get this traffic update.